Session number 14885.
Germany. Mr. Ellis, Reel 3.
I think the old attack people in Germany were just as happy as we were that it was all over. And in fact, I think some of them were really happier than we were because they'd had that much trouble with one way and the other, calling the young lads up. And they took young lads which was 12 and 13, 14 and 15, because I've seen graves where there's been lads with a notice on the grave saying they was only 12 year old, which was called up in the forces.
Why do you say it was the older people who were glad the war was over and
Well,
not the younger?
I think they got that fed up of this idiot, this Hitler, doing this, doing that, doing other, and I think at first they'd gone all the way with him, and then when it was cut, when it was reversed round, coming backwards onto them, I think they got fed up to teeth.
But how did the younger Germans feel?
Well, I think they was, how could I say it, they was like little Gestapo or something. To me, they were just little Hitlers in my mind. Some of them were just like stormtroopers, Hitlers, or anything you'd like to say.
Were these young civilians, you mean, or young
Young
soldiers?
soldiers, young soldiers.
How did they behave?
They were similar, very similar.
Any incidents you can describe with in Germany that happened to you?
No, only that when we got to Germany, to Hamburg Airport, the war was over. We went onto the airport. They had some big generators at the airport, what generate for searchlights. And we fixed these up and we used them for lighting all the airport up so we could sleep in the airport because all electric had been cut off or blown off or something. And we did that. And we stayed there till we got demobbed. But apart from that, there was some railway engines, which was very funny to me. There was a railway engine there on the sidings. We were that fed up waiting to get demobbed that we started playing about with this railway engine, got old wood and stoked it up and got it going. And we're running them down lines because we're fed up of being stuck there just for a bit of amusement. And we're running them down lines for a bit of fun. And then they came across that they wanted a Churchill tank sent in for VE parade in England. So with me being apprentice decorator, they got all the paint and we got all the tank washed down with petrol and we painted it beautiful. Enamel white. From a dirty old, mucky old camouflage tank to a beautiful white, and it was transported back to England for VE Day.
This was a Churchill Mark.
Mark 7.
Did you paint anything, any slogans on it?
No, they originally all our tanks had slogans stuck on the side of them. They had names on the side, banner and various other just names. And on a lot of pannier doors, they'd either have Hitler's head put on one side or Göring's head on another side. And the Italian names and stuff on the other side, on the pannier doors.
What was the name of your tank?
I forgot to tell you to us because, as I say, we lost two of them.
Where was the other one lost?
Just before Germany. It was knocked out. In Holland, but just on the Rhine. It was knocked out there, just other side.
Were you in it?
Yes, we lost it. It came. We were going across a field, and the infantry was held up. So we was going across this field, and we knew where the Germans was, down these trenches and in this old house. So as we're going across, just going to set fire to the trenches. We didn't hear anything, but this tiller bar out front where he's driving the tank with, just pulled out of my hand. And everything stopped. Wireless went off, everything went off. We didn't know, we'd had HE armoured piercing shell gone right through the engine from one side to the other. So it knocked all the engine and all the electric, everything off. So we're just absolutely jiggered. So we didn't know until tank commander shouted up, "We've been hit, but don't get out yet." He said, "There's infantry outside of us, our infantry outside of us, and they'll tell us when to get out. And don't get out the turret, get out the panier door at the right, left-hand side, the co-driver's side, because the Germans are on the right and our infantry is on the left." So what we did was open this panier door, and it had never been opened for 6 months. We had to hit it with a sledgehammer to get it open. Get it open, and we all got out of that side, five of us, and we stood there until our infantry lad shouted, "Right, one at a time." And we run across and got into the ditch other side. And then this is where we lost the any contact then, because we were at this crossroad, and it was in Germany, but it was at this side of the Rhine. And the tank had been knocked out completely. All the other tanks had gone forward, all the other infantry had gone forward, so we were just left there. So there was an old farmhouse there, so all we did, we stopped there for a week until some supplies come through for us. Every time anybody come up in a Wagner out, our own people, they used to give us some tea or some sugar or some tins of stuff and tins of this, and we stopped there for a week in this farmhouse until one of our wagons come up, took tank away and took us away. And then when they give us a new tank.
Was this before the Rhine crossing?
Just before the Rhine crossing, but it was still in Germany.
Did you see anything of the devastation in Hamburg?
Yes, it was a right mess. Yeah. I don't know how half of the people, well, actually, where I looked at anyhow, there must have been thousands and thousands of people killed there. Must have been. Dilapidated place, and as I say, like, even the airport was bumped to bugger, eh? And all surrounding places, and anything that wasn't, folk had left, and they set fire to them. They sell for nobody at farmhouses such as that. Must have set fire to them so nobody else could have them. The places burned out all over, and it hadn't been done by bombing or out like that. Deliberately set a fire so nobody else could benefit from them.
Did you see anything of the concentration camps?
Yes, we went up to one concentration camp, Belsen, I think he was, Belsen. We went there on a journey to get rid of the smell. There was big trenches, as long, I don't know how long they were, but I should imagine to be 10 foot deep and about 12 foot wide. And there were folk walking about. How the hell they walked about, I don't know. It was just like a skeleton walking about. They were wandering, half doped. They didn't know where they were going. They might as well have been dead for what good they were. They were just walking about, all bones all over, and they were dropping down, and this is what they were doing. They were throwing them into these trenches. Some of them, before they were dead, they were throwing them into these trenches, and they smelt that much. Just like, as I told you about Flulea's Gap with the animals there. They smelt that much that it fetched us in. And we had to go and set a fire to all these trenches' bodies before the army or whoever was doing it covered them all up. It was like one big open grave, and it stunk awful. We had to set a fire because the smell was that putrid. And that's the only thing I did see about a Belsen camp.
How many of these trenches did you set fire to?
One right big long one. When I say big long one, it must have been 500 or 600 yards down one side of the camp. And it stunk to incredible.
Who was putting the corpses into the trenches?
Well, I wouldn't like to say there were no Germans there, put it that way. They were all people who had been left there. They'd just gone, the Germans had left. And they were the people who had been kept there in the camp, it was them who was walking about, and some of them, when they saw them in such a state, they were just putting them and laying them on top of others. In such a state, they couldn't do wrong with them. Even them who was walking about, they didn't look as if they could walk the one side of the road to the other. How the hell they did walk, I don't know.
How many tanks did that job?
Two tanks. One at one end and one at the other.
Were you driving or doing another job?
No, I was driving. One of the lads were doing flamethrowing jobs.
Any other memories from Germany?
No, I can't say offhand, no, sir. No.
What did you do on VE Day itself?
Nothing.
Were you in Germany?
Yes, sir.
At Hamburg?
Hamburg Airport.
Didn't you even have drinks and get drunk?
No. No! No, as a matter of fact, we'd have liked to, but there was no such thing about. It was in place in that place, you couldn't get out. You didn't know where to go. You couldn't be wandering around Germany, you didn't know where to go. So you just stuck there until it come for you. Time to get demobbed.
So you didn't have any celebration at all on the VE Day?
No.
Didn't it mean anything to you?
No, not really. Only that it were all over, that's it. The next thing we knew is somebody was saying they'll be shipping us back to England. Ready to shove it down to Japan after that, but we never got there.
Did you set off for the Far East?
No, sir. No. There's one or two firms, one or two branches of the army did. They were on boats already, and when it come over on the thing, that say that they'd packed in as well, they thought, oh, right. We'll be all right, we'll be going back, but they didn't. They carried straight on, still took them there.
Did you do anything on VJ Day?
No.
How did you feel when the war ended?
I was damn glad. I was glad. And I was glad to get home. I was glad it was over. And as I say, like, with it being a regiment from down Kent, very few folk we knew. If it hadn't been for the association, our mob, doing these things every 3 months and getting all the names and addresses, I don't think I'd know any of them today.
Were people mentally disturbed or emotionally disturbed at the war's end?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't think it affected you, really. No, it's just another job. You just got used to it, I suppose.
So what do you feel about these people who have to be counselled now?
I don't know. I can't understand it, really, because it's never affected me. I mean, put it that way. And all our lads, I go to the meetings too. There must be well over 200 and odd, and they seem to be all right. All they're doing is dying without age.
Are you glad that you were in the Second World War?
Well, I wouldn't say I was glad, but it's just one of them things. It just came that when I was at the age and they called you up. I'd never have volunteered, put it that way. But I'd never been a conscript. I'd never been a conscientious objector.
Who do you think had the worst job in the war, the infantry or the tanks?
I should imagine the infantry. But they were same as us. They used to say, I wouldn't get in one of them bloody tanks if you give me a pension. And I wouldn't run up and down trenches with a bloody gun like that for a pension either. We felt safer in tanks and they felt safer on the feet.